Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A Canby resident and city councilor has filed a far-reaching public records request seeking copies of emails, texts, and other documents from four other council members, including their correspondence with this media outlet and its representatives. January 20th records request by Councillor Sean Varwig sought any emails, documents, or texts between Councillors Sarah Spoon, Chris Bangs, Greg Parker, and David Bajorin regarding the Canby Planning Commission and its members or potential members. He also requested all emails sent by one or more of those officials since November 1st, 2020, as well as any documents or text messages referencing himself, Council President Tracy Hensley, or Mayor Brian Hodson. Finally, he asked for all emails or other correspondence between the four and Tyler Frank, the Canby Current and its associates. His original request also demanded all emails forwarded to the four councilors or to their spouses or significant others, but this was later retracted. Several of those involved referenced the request during the Canby City Council on Wednesday, February 2nd, the first being Bangs, who framed it as a politically motivated attack. The attacks have come in the form of three separate public records requests, he said, including the one from Varwig, plus a failed recall effort that also targeted Spoon last year. These are extraordinary measures, Bang said. I don't believe a city councilor has ever asked for public records from another city councilor. This is normally something that the media might do in trying to get information. Under state law, public bodies can require those requesting public records to reimburse staff time spent on locating, reviewing, preparing, and, if necessary, redacting documents. City Recorder Melissa Bissett told The Current the estimated fee for Varwig's records request was $1,087.57. Still, Bangs characterized the charade as a waste of time that would be detrimental to the community. Spoon did not comment on the request during the meeting, but in a later statement to The Current, she said she has no problem complying with a public records request. I do take issue with my colleague responding to a failed vote with a meltdown and a public records request so vast and abusive in scope that it is costing him over $1,000 of his personal money, and staff indicated that they will have to shift the city's priorities to facilitate it, she said. It's an expensive, petty fishing expedition that will prevent the city from doing the work of the people. Leadership requires resilience, and what we should be doing when a vote doesn't go our way, as it has for all of us, is brush ourselves off, build bridges, and get back to work, not throw temper tantrums. In his comments at the meeting, as well as a later interview with The Current, Varwig stressed that he had made the request as a private citizen and not in his role as city councilor. While we are elected to serve, that does not take away the fact that we are also community members, and those who are also elected to serve still represent us, he explained. And when you lose trust in those who represent you, there are things like records requests to make sure they are on the up and up. If they're doing everything correctly, there should be no problem and no issue with the public records requests. That's why it exists. Barwig confirmed this week that he has not yet received any of the requested communications or documents. He said city staff estimated that the request would likely be fulfilled sometime in March. Tucked away in the midst of the year's biggest professional football game is a glance of a Canby native and his musical friends. Brian Smith, known musically as B. Appleseed, and his band, Elf Freedom, appeared in a Super Bowl commercial for Vrbo, an online marketplace for vacation rentals. About 15 seconds into the advertisement, the camera pans across a living room, and there, Smith and his bandmates are having a little jam session. It's a little bit more exposure than a blink and you might miss it moment, and certainly thrilled Appleseed and his band. But here's how it came about. In the middle of December, I got an audition for a Vrbo commercial as a band, Smith said. It was rare that the audition called for the whole band. I convinced my band to meet up and film our little hasty audition beforehand, introducing ourselves and playing a song we made up on the spot to submit at the very last second. The resulting jams that night were amazing. Later that week, Smith said the band got a call back in which they chatted with director Cyril Dunlop from London and a few other people involved in the project from the ad agency, Whedon and Kennedy from Portland, as well as the production company, The Corner Shop in Los Angeles, via a Zoom call. After that, we just got lucky that us jamming improvised music in the living room in our small apartment was exactly the vibe they wanted for their diverse cast in a vacation rental mansion in Los Angeles, Smith explained. We knew it might be a commercial that went national, but we had no idea it would end up in the Super Bowl of all places just 2 months after filming. Smith, or Appleseed, grew up in Canby from the age of three. He attended Knight Elementary, Ackerman Middle School, and Canby High, graduating in 2008. He has traveled and performed all over the world. He returned to Portland in 2015, then headed to Los Angeles in 2017. The world is a big place, and at the very least, after this whole madness pandemic, I hope this commercial inspires people to travel, reconnect with old friends and loved ones, Smith said. And I hope to do the same next time I'm back in Canby, for it has been far too long. A new location for Clackamas County's only free health clinic has officially broken ground as Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine enters its next decade of serving the health needs of residents countywide who face systemic barriers in accessing care. Staff, education officials, commissioners, and community members gathered in front of Clackamas Community College's Oregon City campus on Friday, February 4th, to commemorate the first day of renovations on the new clinic-to-be, which will provide CVIM the space and resources to expand its services beyond what was available in its former building, roughly 2 miles north. At the new clinic on campus, which will include 7 exam rooms, CVIM volunteers will continue their mission of facilitating primary health care, lab services, optometry, and more to thousands of county residents, the majority of whom are low-income, uninsured, or underinsured, according to Executive Director Martha Spears. Of course, every patient brings their own story, but they all lack affordable access to healthcare, Spears said at the groundbreaking ceremony, adding that many of their patients are immigrants, seniors, single parents, and those between employment. Many work 2 to 3 low-wage jobs to support families, Spears said, adding that their patient base is increasingly housing and food insecure and are disproportionately people of color. The new clinic will be in Claremont Hall at CCC and have 7 exam rooms, office space, work areas, and consultation space. Funding for this $3 million project comes from multiple sources, including a $650,000 Clackamas County Community Development Block Grant and $800,000 in American Rescue Plan Act funding allocated by Representatives Courtney Neron, Mark Meek, and Andrea Salinas. The Hetherington Foundation for Innovation and Education in Healthcare is providing $700,000 in matching funds, and the Collins Foundation is providing $150,000 to fund a full-time nurse practitioner. CVIM is still fundraising for the full amount needed to complete the project and expand service to the community. For more information about Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine or to donate, visit clackamasvim.org. Canby Public Library will hold its third annual Canby Reads event Thursday, February 17th, and the community is invited to participate. This year's pick is The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. This heartwarming novel explores the importance of acceptance, unconditional love, and respecting the difference of others. The reader will follow social caseworker Linus Baker to a fictional island to examine the welfare of some magical young charges. A community discussion is planned for March 24th. There are a limited number of free copies of the book available at the library and participating businesses beginning February 17th. Each book will contain a reading guide and information on how to join the discussion. The Canby Reads program is made possible by funding from the Friends of the Canby Public Library. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. The Canby Cougar wrestling team came out on top in the brutally competitive Three Rivers League circuit last week, claiming the conference title for the first time in years. Record-wise, the Cougs finished in a three-way tie with West Linn and Tualatin, but got the nod by virtue of having won more matches throughout the season. All year, the Canby Cougar wrestling squad has blasted past opponents thanks to a deeply talented set of wrestlers. Whether it be Ty Ewers, Matthew Young, or a host of other Cougs, if there's one thing that head coach Jeremy Ensrud has always been able to count on, it's depth. So, when the defending Three Rivers League champ Tualatin and another top 10 team Tigered came to town this past Tuesday and Thursday, it was no surprise to Ensrud or anyone else that Canby's depth would be the deciding factor in dismantling two very talented teams. Canby began the week by making quick work of the Timberwolves, taking down Tualatin 53-15 before besting Tigers 66-12 2 days later. After defeating 21 other teams the week prior at the Bill Geister Invitational, including five top 10 teams, the Cougars' confidence is at an all-time high. That confidence showed on Tuesday, where all but three Cougars won their match. Six of Canby's wins were by fall. In total, 10 Cougars were victorious against Tualatin. The fastest pin of the day came from Colin Kennedy, who took down Tualatin's Ryder Jones in a lightning-fast 30 seconds. The other Cougs to win by fall were Matthew Young, 106, Brady Freud, 113, Craig Williams, 120, Ty Ewers, 126, and Jackson Dahman, 170. After dominating Tiger the following Thursday, in a round where Canby won 9 matches by fall, the Cougs and their league opponents will have a chance at a rematch when it really counts, as the 6A Three Rivers League District Championships get underway Saturday at Oregon City High School.
So, Tyler, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Got any big plans with the missus?
Oh, you know it.
That's what I thought. A little candlelight, nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Check and check.
Romantic music, champagne, and of course, books.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, man. Ladies love books, and books are a great gift that show you value and appreciate everything about that special someone in your life, including their mind.
Okay, I'm with you. One problem, though. What if I don't know what book she would like?
Not to worry, my friend. The Book Nook on North Grant Street in downtown Canby has you covered with their Blind Date with a Book promotion. You just pick out the genre and they take care of the rest, sending you home with your choice of a new or used pre-wrapped hardcover or paperback gem that she or he or they are sure to love.
That does sound pretty cool and romantic.
Yep. Plus, the Book Nook has a fantastic selection of chocolate, candy, cards, and other gifts for all of your Valentine's needs.
And that's not all. If you're in need of a special outing on Valentine's week, look no further than Trivia Night at Wayward Sandwiches Thursday, February 17th. They're partnering with the Book Nook for an evening of romantic literature-themed trivia. Awesome bookish prizes and lots of fun.
For all things books and more, check out The Book Nook, 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue, or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, and at booknookcanby.com. It's back. Hosted by the Canby Rotary Club, Canby's inaugural Daddy-Daughter Dance was one of the first local events to be postponed due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Now, 2 years later, the need for parents, kids, families, and the community to come together, reconnect, and have a little fun is greater than ever. Here's Canby Rotary President and Event Organizer, Ray Keene.
So the Daddy-Daughter Dance is really just coming online at, I think, a really important time for the relationships that are really core in our community. When you think about opportunities to come together with a father and a daughter to connect, or other meaningful relationships, we're really open to all coming. So, you know, when those relationships are kind of when they've been hammered the way that the last couple of years have, you know, really impacted all of our relationships, I think it's really an important time for dads and daughters to be able to get together and do something that's really special.
So join us for an evening of fun, food, magic, music, and of course, dancing from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Ackerman Center in Canby. The night will include a chocolate fountain, refreshments, arts and crafts, a photo booth, a live magic show, and other surprises that are sure to amaze and delight the little princess in your life. Tickets are $30 per couple and $10 for every additional child, with all proceeds supporting the work of Canby Rotary and its charitable efforts in our community. All are welcome at this fun, friendly, and inclusive event. For tickets or more information, visit canbyrotary.com. We're delighted to now be talking with Jordan Turner. He is the new administrator of Marquee Hope Village Post-Acute Rehab and the Assisted Living Facility. Is that right?
Correct.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your work background?
Yeah, so most of my background has been with Marquee.
Yeah.
I grew up in Eastern Oregon, a little town called Hermiston.
Oh, cool.
And then
watermelons.
Yes, lots of watermelons. And then I went to Oregon State after high school, and I did an internship my senior year, and that internship was with Marquee. Mm. And after the first week or so of the internship, I was like, this is the industry, and these are the people I want to work with.
Nice.
And so right out of
college.
Did
you start out doing there?
So I was just an intern.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Marquee has a really cool internship program where they allow you to just kind of see the inner workings of a skilled nursing facility.
Wow.
You spend some time in each department learning about them and just kind of how all the gears fit in and work together to make the facility
That's
run.
That's really interesting. Do other places in this industry do stuff like that, or is that pretty unique?
A lot of places in the industry do have an internship. I think ours is the best at not just teaching you how to be an administrator, but teaching you what housekeeping does, what they do in the dish pit, in the kitchen, and just from, you know, kind of all aspects of it.
Yeah.
Just because if one department's not firing, you know, it directly impacts the other departments. So I think they have a really good internship program that gives you the full picture.
I'd love to hear more just about what appealed to you about this work. We've talked to a couple of folks now at Marquee and kind of younger folks that have just, like you, it seems, just been really kind of taken with this work, which is maybe to folks that aren't in this field, a bit surprising, you know, that a young person especially would be so interested in working with the elderly and folks who need assisted living services.
For sure. Yeah. I honestly started in public health and healthcare management with the goal of ending up in a hospital setting, kind of hospital administration.
Sure.
This I did not give long-term
wasn't on
care.
The radar.
Nope, not even
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
And that the internship, to be completely honest, I did it because it was a paid internship, and that most of the healthcare internships aren't paid. Like I said, after that first week, I just it was nothing of what I thought it actually was.
Yeah.
Where especially the post-acute rehab, where we get to see people come in a wheelchair and walk out on their own because of the
yeah.
therapy services we're able to provide.
Yeah,
You just don't get to see that. There's such a bad connotations associated with long-term care and nursing homes in
yeah.
general that
yeah.
To kind of see behind that was really amazing. So after that first week, I just knew that I wanted to work here and be around people that were happy to see me every day, and that
yeah.
every single day I was going to come to work and make a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty rare, especially even with my talking with my friends. Not everyone gets to make a difference every single day they walk through the door, and I get to. So
yeah.
That was something that really, really appealed to me.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of derailed you, but you did this internship and then went to college after that, or what?
Yeah, so the internship, part of the public health program, you have to do an internship at some point during
gotcha.
The program. And so my winter term, so the term before I graduated, I just took that term off and just did the internship.
Mm.
And so after the end of the internship is just 10 weeks, I told the recruiter, I was like, whatever I need to do to get in with Marquis, I want to. Because with being an administrator, that Marquis doesn't just hire people right into the position. They want you to work your way up through each aspect of the facility, similar to the internship. They want you to have a full understanding of how the department works as you kind of move up before you actually get into the administrator position. So
yeah.
I said, whatever position is going to help me get through that, I want to. And so
cool.
I got hired to do staffing. So I was doing hiring and doing the schedule management for all CNAs and nurses for our Wilsonville location.
Okay, cool.
So then I bebopped around to a few different locations. I was actually here 3 years ago to train to get my license to become an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
But I've worked for Marquis for about 6 years. So my work experience has really been all Marquis. It's been
yeah.
it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah, awesome. What what do you like about this facility specifically here in Canby?
Yeah, so like I said, I grew up in Hermiston, so
yeah.
smaller town, and Canby reminds me a lot of Hermiston, and I
really
it's very similar.
Hermiston's quite small, right? It's like
18,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
it's
oh,
actually
Canby then.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, I thought
no,
it was
it's totally fine.
Really small. Yeah.
yeah, and it's grown a lot since
yeah.
that. When I left, there it was about 12,000.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
it's grown quite a bit
yeah.
in the last few years. But it reminds me a lot of that, and
yeah.
As I get away from Hermiston and out of college, I realize that growing up in that small town community has been something that's been really big
yeah.
to me. And
yeah.
the community here in Canby is awesome. I love being able to go to Cutsforth and walking through and people know who I am or they recognize me. It's just,
yeah.
there's something about that that you don't get.
I mean,
get.
The name tag helps.
The name tag, it does help. That's every now and again, I'm like, wait, do you actually know me? Have to take it off to double
yeah,
check.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just nice going where people know your name and they kind of know who you are and you're not just someone else just walking around. So that's probably been the coolest thing about Canby. But then
yeah.
specifically here at Hope Village, we have a lot of longevity. I mean, Marquis in general, we have a lot of people that get hired on and work for their entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And especially here at Hope Village, there's a
yeah.
lot of longevity within
cool.
The department heads and the CNAs. So to be around that kind of community is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. When did you start as the administrator here?
So this is the beginning of my second week. So
okay.
it was last Wednesday, or
yeah.
excuse me, last Monday was when I started here
yeah.
Officially by myself.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. But you've been preparing for it for 6 years.
Yes, exactly.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I before this, for about half my career with Marquis, I was the administrator at our Oregon City location,
okay.
Which is just one skilled nursing facility. So
gotcha.
This is definitely a lot more responsibility, but still kind of in that same vein. So
yeah.
And luckily, like I said, I've been here before and trained with the staff, so
sure.
there's some familiarity there, and so
yeah.
they kind of know me and I know them. So
yeah.
that's
liking
been super
it
helpful.
So far?
loving it.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's just, like I said, a great community to be a part of, and they're just a really solid team. So yeah. I'm really lucky to be here.
What do the residents think? Have they been teasing you or hazing you?
Right, of course, that comes with it. That's all part of it. They definitely like to give me a lot of stuff for being young and right. that kind of thing. But it's been awesome. There's actually some of the residents were here when I was here 3 years ago, so that's been really fun to reconnect with them. And then also to just with our long-term care community, it's relatively small, so there's even some residents that are here long-term that we've seen for skilled nursing at the Oregon City location. So it's kind of fun being able to come back and hang out with them. And I do play guitar and sing.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're going to plan a time to get together and I'll sing and kind of get to know some more of the residents. So I'm looking forward to some of those. But of course, there's always a little hazing as it comes with
it. Right. They send you to get their shawl on the fourth floor.
Right, exactly.
The secret elevator that's behind the dumpster.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you, what does an administrator do at a facility like this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And that's what
it's one of those like vague job titles that could do like anything.
Exactly. And that's over the course of 6 years. Right, exactly. I just run. And that's something I've been trying to figure out an answer to for a long time. The best way that I've been able to describe it is really the facility is a 24-hour facility, mm-hmm. and my job responsibility is to make sure that we adhere to all the local, state, and federal regulations that we have to adhere to. Okay. That's the most basic thing that I have to do.
Gotcha.
So with that, you wear many hats.
Yeah.
Whatever's needed.
Those touch a lot of different aspects. Those touch employees. Those touch resident care. That touches medication, probably.
Exactly.
All kinds of things.
Yes.
Lighting. Airflow.
Exactly. Security. Everything that we do is regulated and we're held to some standard. There's very rarely something that we do here just because we want to do it.
Right.
We do it because of there's this that we're adhering to or something.
And they're
like
always
that.
Changing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And COVID has created quite a bit of whiplash with that of one day this, next day this.
Right. And even sometimes it being different at federal or state level.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so that's created a huge challenge. But I think that's probably at the most basic level, I'm here to make sure that we're sticking to the rules we're supposed to follow. But then at the same time, I'm here to just support the staff in making sure we're taking the best possible care of the residents.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in my kind of mantra at every facility I go to is that we're all here for the exact same reason, and that's to take care of the residents. We might do so in varying ways, in different ways, but we're all here for the same thing. And that your job title is your title for your specific responsibilities, but there might be things that come up that are outside of your responsibilities that you need to take care of because that's what's best for the residents.
Right.
And so that's really the kind of the breadth of my position. I do anything and everything that we need to do to help support the staff or to support the residents and the recovery goals.
Yeah. Like they didn't necessarily tell you in your job description you have to sit down and talk to a podcast guy, but here you are. So.
Exactly.
In that role, do you personally work with a lot of like agency folks at other agencies, these regulatory type agencies, or do you have some way of just kind of when the new laws and things change, those sort of get sent to you and you have to kind of parse through that and see how it affects you, or is it I guess a little bit of both?
Yeah, it's a great question because that's I think probably one of the biggest challenges, especially during COVID, has been those regulations coming out. They're very specific, but allow for some kind of gray areas because the federal government making a rule, it has to fit in New York and it also has to fit in Oregon. So they allow for some variability. Luckily, Marquis has a really great support system. So our corporate office, once those things are sent out, they send us kind of a condensed version of, yes, this is the new policy, but here are the kind of key points that are going to help you adhere to this policy. We already have X, Y in place, but you need to do Z to make sure we're adhering to this new issue.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been, it's a lot, but having the support of our corporate office has been amazing.
Yeah. Outside of long-term care, outside of healthcare and a few other kind of specific industries and areas, there's a real sense we're finally getting to a more positive stage in this pandemic, right? Things are finally loosening up in our state and other states. Is there that, I know long-term care and healthcare, mask mandates and things aren't going away, right away or anything like that. But is there a sense things are kind of getting a little better or are we kind of at a place where, no, this is a vulnerable population, we're probably going to stay in this for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, so I think that, it's exactly that. It's really hopeful, and I think the team is hopeful too here, that to see the mask mandate being dropped out in the community is awesome.
Because community spread is a big factor about what gets in here. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The community that you're in was one of the biggest indicators of whether you had an outbreak within your facility during the pandemic. Yeah. And I think that having that community spread slow down, while yes, we still have to be masked up in N95 and face shields here, it definitely eases some of that, knowing that, okay, yes, life is starting to return to normal. Maybe, you know, at work, we're still having to do some things, but outside life is starting to return to normal.
Yeah.
I think it's been a huge help in just kind of boosting morale to the team to kind of see some of those things and just some actual light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. And what about in here as far as visitors, activities, things like that? Is that, I know that kind of has started to loosen up months ago, but
yeah, absolutely. And really the visitors has been amazing. That slowly kind of loosened up. And then most recently, 2 months or so ago, we've now been able to allow visitors at all times during the facility. So that, I mean, the whiplash is hard enough on us as staff members to, you know, on this day, off this day kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for us to be able to allow visitors to come in has been amazing. Been a huge, huge boost for the residents. It was hard enough to go through all this while not also isolating people, but that's been probably the biggest thing that we've seen is the visitors coming back and just the smiles on the faces of the residents has been really awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's all the questions I had for you, Jordan. Perfect. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I don't think so. I'm just really excited and really happy to be part of the Canby community. Yeah. And just, I'm looking forward to being here for a long time.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Jordan.
Absolutely. Welcome.
Okay, Tyler, I need to tell you about the latest giveaway from Direct Link.
Okay.
So I know you're not the biggest sports guy.
Not at all.
But let me paint you a little picture. Portland versus Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. 10 seconds left, all tied up with the series on the line. Damian Lillard is at half court, Paul George in his face. Dame, cool as ice, lets the clock drain down to nothing, then launches this ridiculous bomb from the logo. Nothing but net. And the crowd goes insane. Here, check this out.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
Okay, I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine being there?
I know, right? Well, thanks to our friends at DirectLink, Canby's local reliable internet provider, you can.
I can? Yes!
Well, no, actually, you can't. But one of our listeners can.
Oh, well, okay.
That's because we're giving away 2 100-level tickets to the Blazers versus San Antonio on March 23rd.
Wait, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds so cool. Level 100 seats?
That's right. Only a dozen rows back from the court. This ticket giveaway is exclusively for our podcast listeners and readers, and you can enter to win right now at directlink.coop/canbycurrent. The giveaway will end on March 2nd, and the winner will be randomly chosen that day.
Okay, but I do have one serious question.
Okay.
Can I seriously not enter to win these tickets?
Okay, well, Tyler, all the rules are on the website. Just visit directlink.coop/canbycurrent, and good luck, everybody.
Series. Damian Lillard for 50 points. Good night.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432.
Canby Then is brought to you, as always, by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop, and they're open daily. You can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant Street here in downtown Canby. Named after one of the most colorful and unique figures of the city's early history, the incomparable teacher, Oregon Trail pioneer, gold prospector, newspaper editor, attorney, politician, farmer, and Supreme Court Justice Aaron Emmons Waite, Waite Park has long been a center of Canby life. I mean, it is literally located pretty much square in the center of town. It's also, in many ways, the city's cultural center, playing host to many of our most popular and well-known events, from Canby Independence Day celebration, once known as General Canby Days, to Light Up the Night, which draws thousands to downtown Canby each year to help ring in the holiday season. The property that would one day become Waite Park was part of the original 1870 plat for the city of Canby, filed 150 years ago. It was originally part of the donation land claim of Canby founding father Philander Lee, who deeded the land for the city's first 24 blocks, which he laid out with the help of his son Albert and a team of oxen. You see, it was once part of the Canby Municipal Code that streets be wide enough to turn around an ox-drawn wagon, and Philander put this to the test back when streets were being measured out. I don't want to tell you how long that old law stayed on the books here in Canby, but suffice to say it was well into the age of the automobile. Anyway, at some point, the land that would become Waite Park became part of the 596 acres of prime farmland acquired by Judge Waite after his legal career ended and he dabbled in realty. He ultimately retired there to work his land until his eventual death on December 12, 1898, at the age of 85. Another part of the judge's land was donated to build the old White School by William Knight, while 40 acres would be bought by a citizens' organization in 1908 and later transferred to property of the county. Today we know that little parcel as the Clackamas County Fairgrounds, but that's a story for another time. Before all of that, the land passed to his only surviving son, Charles Nicholas, more commonly known as C.N. Waite. And though Waite Park is named after the judge, it's really his son to whom we owe our thanks that the park ever became what it is today. C.N. Waite was one of the city's first mayors after Canby was incorporated in 1893, serving from 1900 to 1902. He was also the longtime city attorney and, of course, a judge. You can tell exactly how exciting life in Canby was during the early 1920s when this story makes the front page of the local newspaper. That of C.N. Waite seemingly being the only Canby citizen to witness the fall of a meteor on Sunday, July 15, 1928. Here is the Canby Herald's breathless description of the encounter. He happened to be up late that night, and he was looking out toward the highway, where automobile lights were seen in long strings moving in either direction, when suddenly the whole sky became light as day. Above him, the meteor could be seen tumbling westward. It appeared to fall in the Willamette River, Mr. Waite said, but it probably went down to earth or water hundreds of miles away. A huge, ravenous, blob-like creature invaded the town soon after that. But that, too, is a story for another day. Waite did see the occasional colorful episode as Canby's city attorney, not the least of which was at the time, in 1936, he was called on to referee the question of whether Fire Chief Fred Larson could continue in his service despite not being a naturalized U.S. citizen. City Attorney Waite expressed his opinion that, quote, there's nothing in the statutes to prevent an alien from holding appointive office, end quote. But Larson's rival, Councilman Peter Horning, was determined to get his vengeance in the long-running political feud. As recounted in the Canby Herald, quote, carrying out his threat to seek higher authority, Horning searched the city charter and finds that Section 9 provides no person is eligible to hold office in the municipal corporation who, at the time of his election or appointment, is not entitled to the privileges of an elector. Checkmate, Chief. Conceding that, quote, the city charter is the foundation of all municipal government, Larson tendered his resignation. C.N. Waite himself resigned on July 7, 1938, and for unknown reasons. He died the following year. But just before his death, he set into motion the first steps in securing the city's first park. Waite Park was at the time occupied by several strange structures, including the Bands Hall, Built in 1912, the band hall was located at the corner of what is now Waite Park. It was owned by the Canby School District and used for graduation, basketball games, and gym classes, while the Canby American Legion Post 122 used the back half of the building. On June 5th, 1939, C.N. Waite sent a quit claim deed to the city of Canby for 7 lots in downtown Canby, with an option to purchase the remaining 3 lots in the block from George Cummings for a cool $100 apiece. The deed was not without strings attached, however. To take title to the property, the city had to agree to pay back taxes on the Waite land to the tune of $556. By the 1940s and 50s, the property featured a roller skating rink and baseball diamond, which had lights and seats installed in 1953, just in time for the summer baseball and softball seasons. Wise car owners soon learned not to park around the perimeter when a game was in progress, or at least when a long ball threat was at bat. The park also boasted a Quonset hut, a former army structure that was surplused after the Second War ended in 1945. It was used as a youth center, and then later by Boy Scout Troop number 258. With all this activity, it's remarkable that the block did not officially become a city park until the late 1960s, and it wasn't officially dedicated or named until 1972. Perhaps the city council was still occupied with checking the immigration status of its prospective fire chiefs. The city had razed many of the old buildings to clear way for the park and had acquired a few more lots to fill things out, including gifts from William and Eva Herman and the estate of Daisy Van Mortelet. It happened on a clear, beautiful July day when over 150 people turned out to hear then-city attorney Wade P. Bettis dedicated Waite Park, quote, "to all the people of Canby and those of the future, for your enjoyment." According to the Herald, some of those in attendance were from Canby's earliest families, the Lees, the Waites, and the Knights among them. The plat was unveiled by Portland resident Aaron E. Waite, son of C.N. and grandson of the judge. Bettis introduced him to the crowd as the son of the donors of the land on which you now stand. The iconic gazebo was added in 1984, a gift from the Canby Arts Association. Its use for the Slice of Summer concert series and many other musical events throughout the year recalls the earlier days of band concerts in the city's first park. What the heck is that weird rock on Knightsbridge Road? Could it be the meteor Charles Waite saw all those years ago? Spoiler alert, no. No, it's not. But we'll tell you all about it and what it really means next time on Can Be Then.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait. Do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And,
wait, what?
And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately, like, caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.